Yo, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm your host, Brunson. Got the homies on the line, the boy Kilo Brigio, and the homie Smitty. What's good, fellas?
I'm good. Ready to get into some shitty conversations.
Don't give it away before it starts now. No spoilers. Look, we got some interesting topics for y'all today. That's going to be some more hilarious shit that we want to get into and talk to y'all about. Kenny, how you doing, bro? You good? Matter of fact, how was y'all Valentine's Day? Y'all had a good Valentine's Day? Y'all was out there spending all your money?
Unmute.
Who, me? Do you hear me or not? Well, I don't know who the hell muted me, Courtney.
I did mute you. Your cheers make a lot of noise.
Oh, I was talking about Black Courtney, so we talking about Dirty Carmel over here, okay? I know you muted me, brother. Yes, I'm now fine.
Well, how was y'all Valentine's, what I was asking?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I did the Chippy Red concert with two of my sons on Valentine's Day. And then me and my lady on the 15th, which is the official side bitch Valentine's Day. Me and her just chilled, you know.
She gonna fuck you up when she hear that comment.
Oh, she's not my side bitch. That's my main and my only. But, you know, the 15th is the side bitch.
I don't believe that.
Or the 13th. The 13th is not the 14th. Number one gets the 14th. You have to make up a lot of everybody else if you're out there cheating.
I don't know about that one and only.
She's going to fuck you up by making that statement and explaining to you to us what you did the day.
I love you, Ty. It's only you, baby.
You can't clean that up.
Swept it.
All right. Well, listen, it was glad. I'm glad to hear y'all doing well. Let's go ahead and get into this shit because this is funny as hell. So, first off, we came to this topic because I just was randomly thinking things out in my head and just, you know, the life I lived in the past. And I was sitting there thinking like, man, I really want to ask the fellas this question. But I'm like, damn, should I do it? Should I don't do it? You know, whatever. But I'm like, fuck it. The name is Fuck Your Feelings, right? So, fellas, I want to know, have you ever accidentally stuck it in her ass on purpose? I'm going to say that again. Have you accidentally stuck it in her ass on purpose? Now, I know in your head, you like, how the fuck is that possible? But it is. Like, I didn't mean to really, but, well, you know, it was a happy surprise. Or did I mean to? That's what I'm talking about. So, Keenan, I'm going to start off with you. You ever accidentally stuck it in a girl's ass on purpose?
No. And you can understand, when you're a little bit taller and you deal with females that are shorter, your placement is off sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Depending on your position. So it's been to the point where, you know, I was going there and she was like, no, go a little lower. Then I got to scoot my big ass down. But it's never been inserted, you know, accidentally, you know, because I'm not about to jam a shit in. I'm a real gentle lover, you know, so anything I do, I'm going to just ease in that moment. I have, you know, intentionally done some animal giving, not receiving, but, you know.
Oh, that's no fun. Smitty, what about you? Have you accidentally ever stuck it in her ass on purpose?
I don't really want to comment.
Oh, that's no fun.
Is the person that happened to be a listener of this show?
No. Oh, absolutely not.
So why don't you want to comment?
Okay. So you know how you exploring things, you know, and you think somebody gonna be for it, but they're not, and they kind of fuck you up when you do some shit wrong.
Shit on that.
So I'm gonna say yes. I did it on purpose to see where it would go, but I got fucked up on for doing so.
Do tell, my brother. Do tell.
Please. So, are you referring to me and Chili Dog? Well, first of all, let the world know what Chili Dog is. In a second,
this is all in the same action. The chick punched my ass like, like my eye was dotted. Okay. You gotta run around with those sunglasses on that for a couple of days.
Wait, how long ago was this?
This was probably maybe I want to say 10 years ago. I was like 25, 26.
Who?
We're not saying names on a call?
Why they listen to this shit?
We don't know.
We'll call her Becky. Anyway,
okay. Tell me story.
Okay. So, you know how you know, when you getting, you know, you getting ready, you know, you doing some stuff, and you know, and this is when you, like, when you younger, you want to explore more shit, right? So, like, I just wasn't getting the feeling from the pussy, you know. I just wasn't getting it. So I was like, I heard the booty hole maybe maybe tight. Let me try that.
This nigga was bitch. It was like, I heard the booty.
That nigga pontificated being stroke, like,
And you know, it was, you know, and so I was like, it's enough pussy juice on here. I'm just gonna go ahead and slide it in there.
You get a rubber on?
I'm just gonna slide it in there.
Rubber on or rubber off?
Rubber on. And I was like, you know, I'm playing around. I'm just, you know, like, so, you know, you kind of work up to it, right? So, you know, you hitting the pussy, and then you playing with the booty hole, right? Like, you're playing with it just to kind of see if she, you know, you put your finger in it, huh? You gotta see if she gonna be into it, right? Before you just go in there, you know. And she said something that gave me, like, to me was permission, right? Like, she was like, I like that ass play. I said, oh, that's permission to me, right?
That play.
So I said, she down for this.
The views and opinions expressed by Warren Smitty is not that of the Fuck Your Feeling podcast.
Oh, y'all don't think that was permission? Fuck y'all.
The views and opinions of Smitty is not that of the Fuck Your Feelings podcast.
So I thought that was permission, nigga. So I was like, oh, okay. I said, I'm gonna try this, right? So I played with the ass a little bit more, you know. I was like, okay, I'm gonna put my dick on it. I'm just gonna put it on there. Just put it on there, right? And I just kind of sat it there, you know, just was kind of rubbing back and forth, and then slid in. Okay, first off. First off, she hopped off, punched my ass. I'm like, what the fuck was that for? And she's like, where did the fuck you think I get off? You thought I was gonna want a dick in my ass for? And she's like, that's why you got shit on it now. So I looked down and I must have stuck my dick in a turd, because it was just disgusting. It's nasty. I was like, yeah. And that shit smelled horrible too. Ugh.
Whoa, when you playing shit.
Yeah. Now, whenever I've done anal, you know, I'm like, hey, we're gonna plan for this. I done figured the shit out your ass for so many times, so we can agree that you like this shit. We don't, you know, talk about it, you know, just in a normal conversation about anal sex. So, you know, once I'd be like, okay, well, you know, you willing to try next time? And she'd be like, yeah, you know. I'm like, all right, well, this whole day I want you to take a shit, cleanse yourself out, baby. Go and get a towel.
Bitch in there drinking, taking X-Lax and shit.
Yeah, no, for real, you got to clean it out. Like, bro, for real, they have a anal douche. Like, if you want to do that, they have an anal douche where it'll make you shit so your shit clean. I ain't, man, look here. So even when I'm...
way too much about this.
If I'm doing ass play, I'm going to be like, baby, go in there and clean all your shit out. Like, front, back, do all of that. When I say that, like, yeah, hit the front and the back. That means go and clean that shit all the way out, because it's about to be some freak shit going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had shit on my dick once. My BM, she was pregnant. Another nigga baby. And, you know, shit.
I sound so prideful of that.
Yeah.
I sound so prideful of what you did when somebody was carrying another person's
seat. You know, I was doing this because she wasn't letting me see my son. So, and you know, I was basically, it was up to her. When I was fucking with her, she was cool with it, with me seeing my son. So at this point, I was just going full throttle, you know. I ended up getting joint physical custody, though. Giving her that dick. And then she was like, oh, we're going to be together. Yeah, bitch. Let's go to court real quick. But she did. I pulled out. She had some shit on my dick. I want to look at it. I never look at my dick when I've done anal. I'd be like, hey, go and get a towel and clean me off. Don't tell me if anything's going on down there. Just go get a towel and clean me off. And I'll leave it at that.
So, you know, you got shit on your dick.
She had told me this time before I got a chance to be like, don't tell me. So I just laid there, and, you know, your dick be pointed up north, you know, hitting your belly button. So I was just like, all right, come and clean.
Come and clean me. What are you, the fucking Royal Highness, nigga? Hey. Prince Joffrey Dolphin, motherfucker?
Let me ask you something, both of y'all. Don't you feel like a motherfucking king when you get done, you roll off or whatever, you on your side of bed, in the dry spot, man. You got to put them in the wet spot. Eat they pussy on their side. So all that spit and pussy juice be on them. I'm not laying no wet shit. But you lay there. And
my mattress costs a lot now, so I put a towel down because I don't want my mattress. You know, I got an expensive mattress. You can't fuck up that. So
get a mattress cover, baby.
We got one of them, too. That was expensive, too. So we put I put towel down. We ain't gonna fuck around no more.
If you don't come and wipe your shit off when you done, you know, I even do it to her. I'll come in with the towel, and that may start round two. Because I'm going to get
that hot towel. That warm towel, that hit a little different. That warm towel, like, ooh. Usually, I mean, if I'm up, usually I fall asleep. I'm like the lion. You know, lion busting nothing, just fall out to the corner and go to sleep.
You know, ain't nothing like that sleep when you got that clean dick. And don't let them come and jack the rest of your shit out. And don't let them put their mouth on and start catching a little bit. Oh, man, you be like, just put me to bed. And you roll over and curl up, big 6 foot something nigga. You know, shit. I know I be snoring, nigga. Give me some good.
Like a motherfucker, lights out. Wake up, like, what the fuck happened?
Ooh, it's time to go to work.
Shit.
Okay. Where your underwear at? Door still locked, nigga. Kids crying or something, nigga.
That's fucking terrible. So I guess I'll make it the trifecta as everybody else. I too have been shitting on. So this is all several different stories. I have been accidentally stuck in their ass on purpose because I was fucking around. But, you know, I was like, in my head, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but I'm not. But, you know, sometimes you get into that, you know, you get into your best Wesley Pipe strokes and you, you know, get moving. Sorry, I was sleeping with another one. And, you know, I ran into a brick wall. All I heard was, my bad. You know, so I just replaced it to the right place and just kept going. You know, I mean, you know, I thought you all right. Suck it up. So I
like females that like it. Ooh, they start that dirty talk, nigga. Like, fuck my ass, come in my ass. Whoa,
I ain't never liked you like that. I didn't done anal. Let me not say I done anal a couple times. I ain't never liked it. Every time I've done it on purpose, I've got shit on. So it wasn't that pleasurable to me either. It's just like this just feels weird. I'm
like, it's tight. But you know what? To me, it's all mental. You know, like, damn, I'm deep in your ass. You loving this shit. Like, the same thing with when you ejaculate in a female. Half of why I love it is because it's the mental. Like, you're going to take this shit out my nuts, through my dick, in your pussy. Opening, taking it, wanting, holding a nigga in. Oh, no, you not. I'm a freak. I love cream pie.
We all know you a nasty individual, and we're gonna let you have a last couple of minutes so you can tell the story of why you probably the nastiest individual on this line right now. So I had an incident and I was like, it was like, yeah, it was done. And like, come on, let's do it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, all right, this cool. And I pulled out and I was like, nigga, why is there corn on my dick?
Fuck. That would have ruined
that bitch. I'm in the shower on fucking hell. He's rocking back and forth, nigga, like I'm in the Crying Game and shit. I'm like, dog, what the fuck? Huh?
Raw with a condom.
I don't really remember. I want to say Raw because I can't remember last time. I want to say Raw. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it was Raw. Well, yeah, that was really fucked up. And it's just like, try it again. Same. I'm like, this ain't my calling. It's for me to do. So, yeah, you know, I ain't into ass play no more. So, you know, maybe look at it. You know what? All the fellas out there, y'all probably ate ass before. I'm going to tell y'all why. If you ever eat the pussy and all of a sudden you got this taste like you got a roll of pennies in your mouth, you have not hit the asshole. The metallic taste.
There's Smitty.
Look at his beard. You know he eat ass. Don't be so quiet now, Smitty.
What if he gets out there close? What's up, Smitty?
Y'all nasty.
Have you?
Yo, I can't confirm or deny that I've never tasted booty hole before.
Have you done it on purpose?
You probably nasty early.
Have you ever licked a female's hole?
I cannot confirm or deny. Okay, let me tell you. I'll tell you.
Feelings, bro.
Okay.
it something like to see them kind of squirm a little bit. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's nerves at that butthole, nigga. Huh? You just can't do everybody.
Squirm from what?
Like when you look that booty hole.
Oh yeah, that's the shit at that point. Shit, this is all down there. It's connected. Ain't nothing but like a centimeter apart. Just you know, you just get in there. Fucking
I've never done that, but I done gave it a good licking. I done gave it a good slathering, you know, a little hit.
You gotta suck it.
No, I'm not sucking bacteria out now. At that point, no. Man. I'm sucking it. I'm pulling that shit down them intestines, nigga. Nah, buddy. I give it a little lick. Nah, that clitoris. I will suck the fuck out of that.
Woo! This podcast is just turning to way too nasty. We ain't gonna talk about that. But yeah, you're right. You suck the shit out of that. And use different kind of condiments. All right. So listen, I'm gonna get Kenan 1 minute to tell his story about why he's the nastiest person on the podcast. All right. The story you just was telling Smitty.
Oh, okay.
Well, unless you got a nastier one. I'm trying to think if you got a nastier one.
Nasty. I had to think about that. But I could give you arm real quick.
Yeah, give me arm. That's fucked up, by the way.
Back in the day, it's like early 2000s. Motherfuckers still on AOL in the chat room. ASLP. You know what I'm saying? Me that age, that sets that location, that pick. Feel me? So I meet this chick. She goes to a school, suburban, by the Detroit. Way. You said what? So
you always fucked that you're ASLP.
Right.
You remember that squire sent to receive when you wanted to pick?
Right. I remember first it was ASL. Then motherfuckers started getting the webcams, nigga. But anyway, so, you know, I meet old girl. I pick her up from the school. She was bad. You know what I'm saying? Anybody I ever told about her that went to that school, they'd be like, oh, yeah, she bad. But, so, you know, I pick her up, take her to the crib. You know what I'm saying? She called me like, oh, did you notice anything weird? I'm like, nah, you know? She's like, oh, you know, my arm is amputated. I got, you know, some occurred when she was a baby. Arm got amputated right below the elbow. So next day I pick her up. I look. I'm like, okay. In my head, I'm like 17. I'm like, look, she still look good. I could ignore this arm. You know, missionary, I'm just looking at her face. So, you know. Go to her house. She
definitely couldn't have her on all fours.
Three-wheel motion, nigga. So, nigga.
You out here tripping it?
We go to her house, nigga. We playing Monopoly. You know, she start like, oh, well, you know, you want to take a look at it and, you know, you want to feel it. This bitch hit me with it hard as shit. Wound that bitch up like a little chicken wing. Swung that bitch in my shoulder. Hard as shit. It was like it was bone. Somehow we end up getting back to her room, you know, we doing whatever. And she rubbing that nub on the side of me. And I'm like, oh, so I kind of pin it up, you know, with my hand, you know, with my arm, you know, doing missionary. I mean, she had the worst smell. Like, her pussy was just, So I'm trying to enjoy it. You know, when you younger, you know, I'm going to take one for the team, you know. Couldn't take it no more, you know. And, you know, I stayed with my grandma and, you know, I had to do errands for her. So she was always my out with a female. So I'm like, oh, you know what? This pussy good. I ain't expect that, you know, time wise, I had time for this. So, you know, I'm going to come back when I could really, you know, take my time. Well, I went in the bathroom. No condom was stinking. Dickhead stinking. It was fucking horrible. I washed my dick. Never called her again. I forget her name, so I just call her Arm, though.
That is so much wrong. T-shirt.
I forgot her name. I'm going to just call her Arm now.
We get merchandise within it. I forgot her name. I'm just going to call her Arm, though.
Yep.
And just have a picture of a little nub. Y'all going to hell. And that's by far probably makes you the nastiest person on this line.
So, hey, we support any people out there that have disabilities. We are just talking about a story in the past.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that shows our diversity, right? Like, because you fucked a girl with a
deformity and a quadriplegia too. Don't forget about the quadriplegia.
I didn't fuck her.
You would have.
Yeah, I would. Let me tell you, old girl was cute. And she had bread and her
mom. Hey, she was cute. And she had a dope Equaline van. That van was dope as hell.
Oh, she had, nigga, this, dog, this is like when spinners first came out, nigga. Then I came and got you, right?
Yeah, yeah, we rolled out.
She came from a place that's about 45 minutes to an hour away from here. She had a motherfucker.
She was in Yaktown, right?
Yep.
She's from the Yak.
Yep.
That's probably in Michigan for y'all.
She had some gold spinners, bro, when they first came out. Not them fake. I'm talking about the spree wheels on a motherfucking Chevy van, like one of them big conversion ones. Had solo berries. If anybody remember those square joints back in the day, had some 12s. I mean, her shit was going bananas. So I was like, hey, let me go get my man's Courtney. I think we went bowling, right?
Hell yeah. We went we didn't go to the Butterfly. We go to the Butterfly or Thunderbolt. One of them, we went bowling, though. We did go.
It was down the street from the Butterfly. It was Pampers. Yep. Yep. Yeah. She ended up getting married to a nigga in jail, though. Can't make this shit up, bro.
Nigga, the stories you tell.
I met her on AOL, too. I met her on
AOL. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
AOL. Oh, man. Nigga, you still remember your AOL name?
Hey, man. Hey. Mr. Ice and Platinum 00. Shit, Little Pretty Boys 01 or 02. Familia 02, nigga. I had
Familia 02. Mine was Mental Love 02.
Yeah, remember that one? Yeah.
Buying Sex 02. I don't remember that shit. All right, hold on.
And everybody, please don't judge me. I'm a different man. This was these are stories 10, 15 years ago. I'm so different at this point, but
no, you're not. No, you're not. Yeah.
I'm so motherfucking faithful. It's a motherfucking shit.
You not. You still a nasty ass nigga. Just stay nasty ass person.
I'm just
nasty. I take that back. You got daughters and shit now, so you can calm down a lot.
Yeah. I'm still nasty, but it's just with one person. You know. It's respectful.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey. You ever accidentally put it on her ass on purpose?
I just put it in there, man. I mean, it was more thing. Just like I'm curious. And I was like, man, we gonna try this shit today. You know, she shot across the bed like a goddamn cat that got water thrown on it. But you know.
At least
I thought I had permission. He just stuck it in.
Yeah, I assumed it was all a part of the game. We was fucking. It was just, let me ask permission not to do this. Because if you ask permission, 9 times out of 10, they gonna say no. So you gotta prime the butthole up anyway. Before you just go ahead and just ram your cock in it anyhow. Yes, you gotta kinda, you gotta kinda play with the butthole with your thumb first. You know, get it opened up good. Cause man, you can't just go like pow right in there, man. That's mean. That's just flat out mean.
Now see, that's what I'm telling y'all. It's a respectful way to do it, even though you're gonna slut around. You know, it's supposed to be pleasurable for both parties.
See, I'm saying is that I have accidentally done it on purpose, right? Like, I didn't mean to do it. Well, it was an accident, but I kind of wanted to do it, right? So, like, But, you know, I took my floor to the accelerator to the floor and just went head first to the wall.
Wow.
See what happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was mean. You just was mean.
Yeah. I just want to let y'all know how toxic this is, because before you came on, Smitty was like, it probably just was a golden rule. Like, whatever's down there for us to go into. And you was like, yeah, I mean, shit, it was there, so I just did. It was there, so I just did it. Oh, man. Wait, okay, so you haven't been chili dog, bro? By the way, everybody, my bro just joined the line. He joined the podcast. And so we're still talking about how you ever did. We accidentally stuck it in our ass on purpose. So, now the next question to you is, have you ever been chili dog?
What is a chili dog? Are you talking? Oh, I thought he was talking about a story about with me and Ward one time.
I want to hear the story. No, fuck that. You got to tell the story. What story is this?
I can't tell that story.
Wait, why?
Yeah.
Incriminated, man. Can't tell that story, man. What they call that? Allow it period of a crime before you can be prosecuted for. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, statute of limitations. The statute of limitations is probably passed.
It might be. It's been over 20 years, but
Wait, did you commit a murder?
No.
Okay.
It's 12 years. Like, go ahead.
It's too funny.
So chili dog is when you get shitted on your dick and it kind of, when you pull your dick out, it look like it's got chili on it.
Yeah, that's nasty, bro.
No. Especially if it's like it ain't chili sauce like Coney Island, like real chili, like that Hormel.
I've heard stories that sounds weird.
Yeah, I've been shitting on twice, and I don't play around with that.
Yeah,
that shit smell horrible.
Threw up once, but not shitted on. That's nasty, bro.
You got threw up on.
Yeah, ghetto gagging went wrong a long time ago.
Yeah, but you was ghetto gagging. So, all right. Well, thank y'all for y'all piece on that. And I know that ran a little long, but we're going to go into our next topic. So, coming down a little bit, not being so silly, but my next topic was thinking, I forget what I was watching, but it came across, you know, just how respectful people was and how, you know, they work things out with their significant other after they caught them cheating. So, I wanted to ask y'all, would you ever forgive your significant other if they cheated on you? And so, Smitty, I'm going to start off with you.
I can't say it depends, because I can say it depends, but I have to say it depends. Like, if I'm, like, super in love and I found some, like a best friend, I may forgive them and work through it. But if it's somebody, like, you know, I've been dating and I was already weary about it, yeah, I'd probably just, not fucking with you. Let it go. You know what I'm saying? But if it was something like, you know, because I think everybody has a moment of weakness, right? Everybody has a moment. And it's just, I mean, sometimes it's just fucking sex, right? Like, it ain't no really involvement. And sometimes now, if it's not, you ain't about to go over there and be like, you ain't about to cheat on me for no repeated cheating. This is like a accident happening. I'm not about to let you go and be like, well, I've been seeing him for last year. Oh no, I can't forgive you for that. Like a one time indiscretion, I could probably work through it. But we talking about multiple indiscretions with the same nigga or multiple niggas, I can't fuck with that.
Well, what if y'all got kids?
I can't fuck with that. I'm sorry. Like, what am I teaching my kids? Like, what am I teaching my kids? That it's okay to make multiple mistakes and the world gonna forgive you for that shit? Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, okay. So, but what if it was, would you treat it different if it was a woman that she was cheating on you with?
So she was cheating on with a woman? Mm-hmm. No, I would. It's not, it's regardless of the sex of the person. It's just that if it's a one night stand, like if it's a one event or thing, I could probably work through it. But if we talking about like you over here at this chick's house cuddling and watching movies and shit, fuck that. You are in a relationship with that person. That is not cheating. That is a fucking relationship. Cheating to me is a singular event. Like, yeah, you know, I met Bob or I met Susie at the, we was at a work event and we got a little bit, we drank a little bit and I ain't had none in a while. So I let Bob or Susie, whatever, we did what we did, right? I can let that slide. Like I could probably go in. But if you like me and Bob and Susie, we go on these work trips, but they really not work trips. They really around the corner to the hotel. We stay there 2 nights. Fuck that. That is lying, deceit, bamboozled, hoodwinked. Like, I can't forgive that. I can't forgive any of that. But, like, a singular event, I could probably give, you know what I'm saying? But I can't, another thing, I can't give up for your emotional intelligence either. Like, if you lusting over Bob or whatever, and you and Bob got some type of connection, but you ain't fuck Bob, but you really have a really nice emotional connection with Bob, I may have to let that one go too, because I can't, you know, like you mentally, you mind fucking cheating on me. Like, I don't know.
All right, bro, what's your thoughts?
I'm completely with 100% with Smitty. I'm cool if you might just went out there, fucked around, fucked a nigga once. I can kind of forgive that. Take me a minute. I'm definitely going to get even. I'm definitely going to go tip tat one. But I can deal with it better than if you didn't form some kind of relationship bond with this nigga. Now, that's cheating to me. If you form a straight up relationship with a person, that's more cheating than you going out and getting fucked once. I can accept you getting fucked once more than I can you forming a relationship like you love this cat. Now, then that means I got to commit an F1 felony and kill everybody.
Okay, so wait, well, how many times is it? Just a one time in the deal, or is it multiple one times? Like, what if it like every 7 years?
No, hell no. Not no every. You should learn from the first time, because the second time somebody has to die. That's why
it's turning. The views and opinions expressed by Christopher is not that of the Fuck Your Feelings podcast.
No, I support that, Chris. I support that.
You fans know, Courtney, I'm crazy as shit, and I got the documents to show.
Yeah, I know. I put you there once. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You did. We'll tell that story another time. But yeah, you did. You Benedict Arnold.
Fuck you, and I do it again in a fucking heartbeat. All right, Keenan, what about you? Could you forgive your significant other for cheating?
Okay. It's not being a hypocrite based off of who I used to be. With how I live now, I don't do it. I don't put myself in a place to cheat, to flirt. I done had females say all types of wild shit, you know, recently. And I just be like, man, look, I got a woman. I got kids. I got a family. The fall is going to be too fucking far. Mm-hmm. I'm good. So.
Too much to lose.
Yeah, I'm on that shit. So if you do that to me, it's going to fuck up my idea of nothing's perfect, but my idea of an imperfect, perfect relationship. Because now it's going to be like, I'm going to have an attitude of, okay, you cheated on me. I guess I don't have to look at my relationship as something I got to uphold. So now, if it's a piece of pussy I want, if I want something new, if I just want to fuck a bitch throat, I'm going to go out there and find it, and I'm going to do it, you know, free and clear of my conscience. And I don't want to be in a relationship like that, because to me, that's the end of how I am.
So, I mean, what about you? So I don't know, right? So if it's I'm kind of like y'all, like if it's a one time in the deal thing and it happened, then I might, especially now that, you know, kids is involved, and if it happened, it's like, all right, man, the family kind of going strong. Hate to fuck up that aspect of it for the kids and having two parents in a home kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, man, can I ever trust you again? And with the amount of shit that's going on out here in the world, and you coming back to me, I don't know. It take a lot, and it have to be that one time, because you're right. Because that whole relationship, like you having a whole ass relationship with a motherfucker. Yep, I'm gonna throw you the shovel, and now we gotta bury this motherfucker
together.
I'm gonna make you dig a ditch. And, you know, you got to figure it out. We got to get the luminol to make sure there ain't no blood spray tratter. We got, you know, we got to figure this out. You got to pull his teeth out, and you got to find a pig farm now, because you done fucked up.
I have two questions. One, I'm going to stay on this, and then I'm going to answer the question. So is it cheating if you're not married?
Yeah, if you're in a relationship together, definitely.
That's still cheating.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no. It's not cheating if you're not married. Because there's no stake in the game. I mean, sure, y'all feelings might get hurt, but at the same time, I mean, what did you cheat on?
But you got people that's been together like 10 or 15 years. You know, in our community, some people don't ever get married and be together forever. Like, we had neighbors that lived across from us that was together 30 years. What about them? You don't think that's cheating? If one of them step outside the relationship?
So, that's a little different, right? Because after a lot, well... You know, I think we talked about common law on another podcast before, or maybe we did. I think we talked about talking about it. But I mean, if you got that kind of relationship and y'all been together 30 some odd years and, you know, you just didn't believe in putting the government into your relationship, that's one thing. But like anything short of like a year, 2 years, that ain't cheap.
Once I give you my word and I'm making a commitment, like I'm fucking with you, then there you go. You know, I'm not doing shit, and I expect you not to do shit. But if we just, you know, fucking and whatever, you know, fucking with each other, and we ain't really, you know, made the next step and outlined, you know, what we looking for and what we trying to do, then shit, yeah, it's not cheating at that point.
So the commitment to me is kind of like how the U.S. dollar is right now, right? I can print as much of that shit as I want, because it really don't mean nothing. It's just paper. Right? Yeah. So, but when you get married, that's that gold standard. And, you know, you got that gold backing you. You got that backing of a institution. It got taxes and insurance on it, you know, that commitment. Yeah.
I look at marriage as the same way. Like, to me, it's about the commitment you making in your heart. A piece of paper. Like, now motherfuckers are cheap before and after with that shit. You know what I'm saying? True. I don't change nothing. Yeah, that makes sense. So to me, you know, like I'm not married. I'm going to do that, but I'm just getting some things in order before I go in and, you know, do nigga, that.
You married. Nigga, stop lying. You married
her. It's not official because women want it to be official. Like I tell her all the time, like, dog, I love you. I'm rocking with you. So a motherfucking piece of paper ain't going to do shit for me. If I'm saying I'm down for you and I'm riding for you, that's all you really need. But
I got two additional questions now. So what about like, okay, we talked about like it can't be repeated, right? What if it's like a sexual act and it's repeated, but you're not actually like it's not fucking like so the nigga just eating your wife's pussy or something, or your girl's pussy on a regular basis and you find
that's my pussy.
Yeah, I'm good on that. That shit can't happen on a regular basis.
And that's so intimate. You know what I'm saying? You let a nigga like, yeah, man, I'm good. That
shit might make you wanna give a nigga a foot massage.
Now putting your hands on her feet and licking in the hole is the hole. They ain't even the same ballpark. They ain't even the same fucking game.
I've been that, bro. For that shit to happen, bro, I'd probably be real upset, nigga. I'd probably kill somebody for real, bro.
Jesus Christ, you just didn't kill six niggas, all right? You old violent motherfucker.
Seriously, man. Listen, man, I almost been married 20 years, nigga. But that shit right now. Like on that, I would help. I would make her help me kill that nigga.
God damn. Take me over there. Some comeback chops. You got to stab that nigga, too.
You ever seen a movie called Unfaithful?
Yeah.
Some shit like that, bro. On some real shit. If she was sorry about it, she helped me kill that nigga. That's how I feel.
Hey, Pito. This nigga Chris gonna get off the podcast and go and walk up to him and be like, hey, you know if you ever let a nigga eat your pussy, I'm gonna kill him, right? And you help.
We've already had this discussion.
Just walk out the room, she's gonna be like, what?
You niggas already probably got bylaws written up. She crazy, yeah. Too.
It's next page, you cheat. Next page, you got to help me kill that nigga. Vice versa, that's how that works.
Yep, go get the bleach, the luminol, and a pig farm.
I'm a barbecue.
I am disturbed that you know so much because you said that twice, nigga.
Wait.
He had researched it.
Okay, but wait, you ain't hear what he just said. He just said he gonna barbecue a nigga and serve it.
Yeah, then that way no one will ever know.
Like, this is why I don't buy $10 church dinner no more because he's a nigga.
Do like a chili cook-off, have y'all niggas come over, get some beers and shit. Y'all wouldn't even know the difference.
I don't know about this chili thing now. We can't use chili no more.
What do we do? Why do we gotta be subjected to that? So, okay, let me ask you this. So, would you be on your Mario Wine and shit and wouldn't want to know? Like, you okay not knowing if some shit, other shit going down? Or do you always want
to
know?
Nah, I don't ask questions, man. I don't ask questions that I don't need to know answers to, bro. If I feel something going on, then I feel something going on, and that's my choice to leave or deal with it. But I ain't going around saying you're cheating on me and looking through phones and all that shit. Then you looking to find some shit you might not want to find.
Right.
All right. So I think that's pretty much all I got. This nigga Smitty was quoting a distant proposal earlier. So. Y'all some funny motherfuckers. All right, so let's go into our next topic. It's really, you want to do this one?
Marcus Garvey versus Black Panthers.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do y'all think? What do y'all think about Marcus Garvey, right? Like Marcus Garvey kind of philosophy was like pro-Black, right? Or Pan-Africanism, you know, Black nationisms, right? Like a lot of stuff that kind of help you kind of spear up like a, some background is you think about the Nation of Islam or Rastafarianism, is that is more Marcus Garveyism, right? That's what Garveyism is. We talked a lot about this in other podcasts, like Black-owned businesses and things like that, but versus the Black Panther, right? Which is like protect yourself with violence, right? Like you good if they don't do violence against you, but as soon as they do, you retaliate, right? And so, your thoughts on that? Like, what do y'all think? What do y'all think is a better approach, right? Like, should Black people be more militant and rebellious to get what they want, or should it just be a more of a like neutral? Like, you isolate yourself into a community
and don't let anything inside your community but what you want to let in, your own people and things like that. So do you think it's more of a, be like, we're going to get our way through the militant and be militant, or get our own way by just isolating the people, any outsiders from your organization?
So you want to lead off?
I don't have to. They adults. They can figure it out.
I just missed all of that. My shit froze up on me.
Okay. Well, again, so would you rather be a, would you like black nationism, or would you like more black militant to be more of our paradigm, right? As more of what black people should live by, right? Like nation building, where we build our own as a black community. It's black owned businesses, black owned shops. I only live in black neighborhoods, black owned things. If you think about it from a Nation of Islam kind of perspective versus a militant perspective like Black Panthers, where it's like, I need to get mine through militant ways. Like, I need to rebel against the establishment to get in to where I need to be.
Well, so, go ahead.
Well, I say this. I think it could be a mixture of both. Well, the thing with the Panthers was they were pretty much almost the same, because they were about community first, but they actions was like, yo, we're not going to take these ass whoopings.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, at a point, you got to stop taking them ass whoopings and start whooping some ass yourself, in my opinion. I myself am a strong believer of being totally separate but equal from white folks. I would rather us all be one black nation, even though we got the nigga element, which means we need to get rid of those fuck nuts to be a true nation. But I think you got to have a mixture of both. You can't keep just, you know, taking them ass whoopings. So, you know, with the Panthers, I think they didn't start, you know, they said they was willing to defend them. They got the attention with the guns, but they mainly was really taking care of the community. So I think you got to have a mixture of both.
Yeah, I just think they're two of the same thing. I think what Marcus Garvey believed was a separate nation, and that he believed that every African that ran the diaspora needed to go back to Africa, needed to call Africa home and to unify Africa as a kind of one nation and a one African kind of thing. So I know he took a lot of slack, Garvey did, in regards to having those opinions and for working with the KKK in regards to, you know, just having a separatism of the races. But, you know, in my thinking there, or in his thinking and his thoughts, I believe Garvey has some good points. I do believe that unification of the African race or the African-American race is what we need, a coming together. And like we spoke in other podcasts, we need to support and own black businesses and have more black infrastructures with, you know, black social or black economic backings, so that we can do more and promote more for our own. And I think that some of what his teachings was kind of led and kind of gave ground and credence to the Black Panther Party, which in a sense, they were all about community with their 10-point plan and them helping the community out, you know, doing school lunches, feeding, doing breakfast, you know, having mentorship programs, walking people back and forth to safety reasons. And it was just trying to counteract the brutality of the police, which, you know, fast forward, I don't know, 40, 50 years from when the Black Panther Party was, you know, a mass. Look where we at right now, right? We're, you know, we have so many killings of African Americans by police, so much police brutality. It's not a day go by that you don't see a video of an African American male or a female being harassed, beaten, stepped on, shot, you know, by law enforcement, which is essentially supposed to be there to take care of the community. So I believe these kind of programs that were both by these two organizations, you know, the Black Panther Party led by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and, you know, Marcus Garvey. I just think they kind of run, you know, kind of Marcus Garvey started it off and gave them the base work for the Black Panther Party. And I think these are similar things that should be reunited in a sense to help bring black awareness back, bring the importance of black African-Americans back, also learning the culture. I think these kind of programs will help establish that and to help arm us going forward as an African-American, as a race, as Pan-Africans, to be able to move forward in this world and take back some of the power that's been stolen from us. Keenan, what's your thoughts?
I think I'm back and good. I was having some issues. think it needs to be a mix of Garveyism along with Black Panthers. I mean, I'm a fan of Black Panthers. I've like read so much about them, you know, just like 10 or 11. Just looking at Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, how they started, you know, their background. Huey Newton, law degree. He knew his shit. You know, he knew his laws. He believed that if you mistreat us, then we'll use violence. You know, they were influenced by Malcolm X, which I agree with most of his views. I think Black Panthers was more about like pride. You know, it was modern for them. That was what the 60s and 70s. I feel like we should have that now. Have it just be a modern version, like a modern day Black Panthers. Because a lot of the racism now is just done under wraps, you know. So we need to be more modern and, you know, it just needs to be a level playing field for everyone. And they're not going to give it to us. So we need to implement shit in our society to where we can reach towards getting to that point.
I agree. Smitty, give me, what's your thoughts before I go into the next piece?
My thoughts are just this. It's a little different because, you know, I'm a cooperative.
Right.
You are. So I disagree with us like having a black nation or black owned businesses or black or an isolated community. Because I don't think that we can be separate and achieve greatness, right? Like, I think there's times where you can do better, but I don't think you can achieve greatness. And I think as a collective body, we benefit from everybody's benefit, like from everybody's things. Like prime example, no offense to any black people that own businesses, but sometimes if I call a black contractor out here, and I'm willing to pay him, I'm not even asking for a discount or anything. I'm just willing to pay him what he asks for, right? He come out, give me an estimate, do what he's supposed to do. I always get some type of, I get some half-assed work, or I don't get the work or the quality that I'm paying for. And if we left that to our nation, like, and to a black nation, we're going to have half-fix shit around this black nation, right? So I support us like using everybody for their talent, right? Because that's how you get quality work for the right price, right? Where if I'm using black community, well, maybe I'm not, the white people aren't giving, white people are charging $1,500, black people charging $1,300, and the Mexicans charging $1,000, and they do just as great work as anybody else. Why wouldn't I pay $1,000 for the good work? And if I pay $1,300, I'm gonna get $1,000 worth of work kind of action. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna pay $1,000 and get the good work. If I pay $1,500, say I'm overpaying, but I'm gonna get the same quality that I get on a different level. If we have that competition, because I can't, if I'm only using things within our nation, the black nation, I'm gonna get half shit, and I can't sit around here with cars rolling off and my tires falling off and my car ain't working and shit like that because he ain't got the right tools or right parts, you know?
You know, I agree with that. I feel like when it comes to a service or just anything, I think I'm going to go and get the best. I'm going to incorporate the price, but also the service. You know, if I'm going to have to get it repaired later, I don't care if you're black, Chinese, I want the job done right. You know, I would like for it to be a black person to support them because I know they don't get as much support as, let's say, a white business. But if you're doing shitty work, I'm not going to contribute. You know?
I think you could have a little bit of both, right? You could almost build a they try to do this like black proud thing before where you like it was a like a black businesses and you kind of. Those were the businesses that you kind of frequent, like black owned and with black mm-hmm. proud and things like that. Where I think you can almost do it where it's they, you know, not like Angelus, but like a black Angelus. So if right. black people wanted to get,
they have one. Just
not necessarily, huh?
It's one that you can look it up. It's like different Facebook groups that show you, all black owned businesses that's like 5-star rated.
Okay.
So that's where you come in with the research, you know, like, because just on the other hand, there are shitty workers. That's just the law of Maine. Whether you're black or white or Mexican, whatever, it's going to always be that percentage of shitty people. So whether you can say, hey, man, I'm going to go get this white dude and he can pay charge you the 15 and be actually shittier than the black guy or the Mexican guy. So it's just that's just life. That's just something, you know, that's what comes in doing research on who you hire to do jobs for. So kind of say to me, that's kind of, I know an all black world is not really realistic. I know that, but I would prefer, if I could, to only deal with black people because I know I've had shitty ass black experiences. So I know how that worked because, I mean, I'm a black business owner. And I mean, I've had times where if I wasn't on deck, hey, my shit was ran shitty as hell, like some nigga shit. So it really comes as a business owner. You have to say, hey, man, who do I have working for me? You know, to make sure your shit is ran, you know, like a business should be ran. So, on either end.
So, and see, I think to my point, why I kind of buy into the Garveyism. I buy into the points of Garveyism as well as the Black Panther Party is because I think what we could do away with by education in one's own community, one building up one's community and learning from it, is some of those missed opportunities that we have when it comes to poor business ethics or poor business work that's being done. And some of those things could be simply because it was a smaller vendor and they overtasked themselves or they just quite didn't learn how to do appropriate business. Not to say that, you know, not to take off for them, but I think education of one's own culture in one's own community and building up that community to stand for so that we, you know, you have more opportunities and you can cut down on like less things of, you know, there being shiesty dealers. Not to say you won't have them, but you have less opportunities because they'll have more business opportunities in front of them. And so they may not have to undercut the next person, and they may not have to cut back on supplies, and they may not have to overbid your contract to you know, make sure they have multiple contracts to come in. I think when you had that kind of community environment and those kind of opportunities, I think it's propelled us forward as a person. Even when, you know, I love Chris Rock, right? And I understand what he's talking about, where he goes, I love black people, but I hate me a nigga, right? And the reason why we hate us a nigga is because our black people, for those people we consider to be our black people, those educated, those more upstanding citizens, from my point of view, those are the people who decided to rise above the community in which whoever we want to say has decided to put us in. Those are the people who rose above it. And those under who may be considered to be the nigga shit haven't quite got the opportunity or haven't realized they're educating themselves to do so, right? Now you got your small percentage that's going to do what they're going to do anyway, but those people haven't been. And I think if we have more of the mixing of those people together in the same community and learning from one another, then I think we pull each all of us up.
And in that Facebook group is called We Buy Black. They'll give you like ratings on different black businesses.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So any last thoughts? So real quick, well, let me just give you, I'm going to run it by because I know we mentioned it earlier, the 10-point plan for the Black Panther Party. So this is kind of what their quote unquote, like their Bible and, you know, it's kind of the publications they used to have and they issue around in their newspaper to the community. And so the 10-point plan, it was just 10 things that they lived by and they wanted to see actualized from their teachings and their thoughts. So one was we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our black community. Two, we want full employment for our people. Three, we want an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our black community. We want decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present day society, which is very important because most schools don't even teach African-American history. And most African-Americans don't even learn about their culture outside of what they get on their own. Six, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. Seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of all black people. Eight, we want freedom from all black men held in federal, state, county, and city prisons and jails. Nine, we want all black people, when brought to trial, to be tried in court by a jury of their peer group or peer people from their black community, as defined by the Constitution of the United States. And 10, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. So, I mean, those are, you know, just 10 points that I think as a community and most of our programs, and this harking back to a conversation when we had the Black Agenda, I think these are 10 solid points we should live by. The military is in, I you know, I don't know if you want to serve your country, by all means, I, you know, I've had family members, I got friends, I mean, we have podcasters that's been on here that has served in the military, so, or is currently serving in the military. So I think if you want to serve your country, I salute you and I thank you for your service. But I think these are just valid points that we should, and for the black community, have to live by and to uphold and try to fight for on every day with our breath. So any last thoughts from anybody? No. All right. Good conversation. All right. So we're going to go into our last thing. So I'm pretty sure everybody has seen this. It's just craziness is going on. And I just wanted to open it up for discussion to talk about it. What was your thoughts in regards to Oprah and Gayle and their attack on black men? If you haven't seen it, about a week ago, been gone by now, since Gayle interviewed Lisa Leslie and she was asking her, almost seemingly attacking her in regards to asking her questions about Kobe Bryant and his legacy. And if you haven't noticed, known, it was in regards to the question of Kobe being allegedly accused of rape. So let's talk about this a little bit more. What's your thoughts? So who haven't gone first? Who hasn't gone first? Let's see. Chris. Keenan, you start us off.
Chris or Keenan?
Keenan.
Okay. Keenan went first. Man, that shit is like how old?
What?
It's a rape charge.
3.
Yeah, like 17 years, 15. I'm
like, dog, come on. You know, she didn't want to testify. She's having sex with other guys. You know, at that point, you know, he's not guilty. You know. She was a whore. You said what?
She was a whore. Yeah. She was getting down with everybody in the hotel, man. Come on, let's leave that shit in the past.
So what it looks like is, you know, that's what it was. She was with it. She was just trying to get a come up, you know. And then when they wanted her to testify and then her shit started crumbling, then it's like, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. So that should let everybody know that she was on some bullshit, that rape charge was bullshit. Because any woman that really, anybody that really got raped, you know, they're there. And they said it happened, and all that they have to do is testify, and they were willing to do it then. Evidence comes out. Now you don't want to do it. What does that look like? You know? So it's that long ago. The courts handled that. Why bring it up now? You know what I'm saying? The motherfucker was alive a few months ago. You could have asked him then if it was that much of a hot topic. You feel me? But now
This happened. This happened in 2003. So that was 17 years ago.
Yeah, so you could have been asked it. All these motherfuckers probably done been in this nigga face over them 17 years at this point. Then came across him at some point, shook his hand. Oh, Kobe, my friend, all that bullshit. And then now all of a sudden, it was a burning question. The motherfuckers could have been said it. You know what I'm saying? That's disrespectful to his legacy. Like, dog, if he was a rapist, then let's roll with it. But he wasn't, from what we know. So you can't.
The charges were dropped, and he was it was done for. Like so
it's like saying he's guilty even though he was innocent. You know, come on, man. And then he died. His wife, his kids, man. Come on, this is shit that they're gonna remember. You know what I'm saying?
I call it the shock value. You guys ever watch reality TV and you like, man, this is stupid. Why is this dude doing this? You have to think they're doing it for TV. And that shit is publicity. That's all they did. The white man, when a brother always died, the white man always want to bring up a past thing or to tarnish a man's legacy. That shit was totally irrelevant. That shit shouldn't even have been brought up. Nobody should have been talking about it. Let's talk about Ben Roethlisberger then. We need to bring that up while he's alive. You know, if we talking about old rape cases.
I mean, go up in the Catholic Church.
Let's talk about Trump. Grabbed by the pussy.
Yeah, come on, man.
But Trump, they're going to feel shit.
Gayle and Oprah should really, knowing the type of black women that they are, they should have never done them questions. Gayle know damn well before she go on TV, she reads those questions. you know, everybody have a production meeting before you go on, so she can't say they snuck some shit in. So it's like she did that shit to get, you know, get the pub, but it went the wrong way for her. Or in some instances, it may not have, because white America ain't tripping. It's just us. So,
I tell you this though, you know, everybody going at them though. You know what I'm saying? Like with Snoop and his shit, it's a way to do things respectful and disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Like I always say, and I tell my kids this, I said, you know, you can't just get mad and call a motherfucker a bitch ass, this and that, this and that, this and that, while you stating your case. Because all they hearing is disrespect. But if you stand there in front of somebody's face and you like, nah, you did this, this was wrong, you need to answer up to it. You know what I'm saying? Just because somebody was disrespectful don't mean you got to disrespect them. You explain your case better when you keep the respect there, because then they can't say shit. But now you focus on Snoop and how he dogged her out. And nobody talking about the message behind it. You know what I'm saying?
So I want to say this, all right? So several things. And I do agree with y'all on some things, right? The young lady or the incident happening, however that went down, I won't call it, you know, like people have different incidents and she had, you know, whatever kind of history or past she is, you know, I won't call her out her name or, you know, just say that she didn't feel how she felt. Cause even Kobe came and stated, you know, that, hey, I thought I had consent. I thought we were having a good time. How you feel is how you feel though. And I feel bad and I apologize that you felt that I took advantage of you. Right. But they, like, you know, the charges were.
No, though. Like,
you said what?
Okay, so like, I don't really remember that case. Did she ever tell him no? Like, what did she say she did to let him know she was
going
to do it?
From her aspect, she said she wasn't with having sex. He said he didn't believe, he didn't know, he wasn't under that impression. He thought that was all good to go and that they were, you know, willing to have, that she was willing to have sex. But I mean, Kobe was mad enough to say that, you know, I apologize for making you feel any less than a human being and that you felt you had to go through the feeling that you felt raped. Right, because that's what kind of person Kobe was. Like he wasn't trying to rape her. He's not rape. He wasn't trying to rape her. But I mean, people feel how they feel, and you can't tell people how they feel. So if that's what she came up, he was a big enough person to be like, "Look, I apologize. I'm sorry that it went down that way." And you know, the thing, what I really had the problem was, is that this happened a week after the man passed. It happened a week after Vanessa Bryant had to learn that her daughter and her husband died and never gonna longer be on this earth. His oldest daughter, who was alive when that case happened, now has to relive this and have to go to school and bring all this back up. All this is in the media again for a family that are dealing and all these families that are dealing with such tragedy. And that's the line of questioning you had to ask who one of his closest friends. That's where you come from. And now all of a sudden, oh, I'm not doing too good. I'm sick. I'm not handling as well.
Yeah, that is so any tack at all.
But listen, here's my thing is, if you not feeling well, imagine the person that's got to put their child and their fucking husband in the ground and you not doing well because you asked this bullshit ass question. You know, like, I don't think this tanks Kobe's legacy. I think Kobe's legacy is what it is. I mean, you know, we've known him to be a philanthropist. We know him to be hardworking on and off the court, a loving father, a loving husband. He had no such incidents since that we've known of. He's been nothing but dedicated to his family. So I don't think this taints his legacy at all. I think this, you know, just in the right trajectory. I think this is just a sad time to see that people that we hold in high esteem, especially African-American or Pan-African people, to just tear down each other in a moment of tragedy where we should be building it. It's disgusting. And, you know, if her show was pulled, her show was pulled because I'm sure it won't be, but like if our show is, I understand it because that was just disgusting.
The cancel culture is just it going too hard. Like I don't think it was just malicious. You know, I just think
that shit was planned out and executed. My brother,
Now I agree with you, Keenan, that the way Snoop and the way some of these other people was calling them out their name and all that. That wasn't cool. These are still elderly black women. You need to respect them. You got a mother yourself. You shouldn't be calling the 60-year-old African American woman a hoe or a bitch and you know all that shit. That ain't called for. You know, like you said, handle your things respectfully. You could disagree you can think that what her show should be canceled. You can express your opinions on this, but like disrespecting them and calling them out, out their names is not where we should be going, especially in an age where we've already been being victimized so much. And for this to happen the way it happened, it's just really, you know, kind of reiterating or, you know, establishing the fact that we don't care about ourselves kind of thing. For like the question that Gail to ask this to, you know, his best friend, and for us to come down and our celebrities to come down and, you know, to handle it the way they handle it, it kind of just shows that we don't care about each other and we need to show the opposite, especially the way we're being treated in today's society.
That's what happens when you get Trump in office.
Everybody. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I appreciate Trump.
The president of hate.
Hey, I appreciate Trump for that reason.
Be ready for FOMO.
Oh, yeah, he definitely get reelected. Ain't no doubt. But I appreciate Trump for that reason. To show Americans, just to show Americans that we are racist. And the racism didn't die because we had a man in office that was the skin color was a little tan. Like, that shit didn't die because of that.
At the end of this, I hope everybody's going to vote regardless of what their thoughts are that he's going to win or not. Because this is what happened. I just want to bring this up. Everybody was sitting in their house who didn't vote was like, he's not going to win. So I'm like, I don't even need to go out there and vote. He's not going to win.
I vote all the time, though. I vote.
Right. I take on work. See,
the thing is, though, we need to be out here expressing that to the community that don't vote. Like, we all going to vote because of the people who we are and how we go about our life in general. But you need to hit the people voting, that don't vote.
There's two types of voting. Like, people vote in more of the general elections, right? Like, November. They vote. But there's primaries happening right now that people don't vote in. And those would narrow down your candidate.
It is.
You got, like, if I'm passionate about something, the passion people go out and vote, right? And they vote in these primaries and they select our candidates for us. When we was like, well, shit, I didn't really want him representing me.
Let's see. But that goes back to my earlier point of we need to have more education in our community by us for us. Not to say that two things can't be true, that we can, you know, exist and coexist in the world as a whole, but at the same time, if we have people educating those in our community, saying this is what this person stands for, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but this is what this person stands for, this is what this person stands for, and what their view, which one of their views more aligned to what the person you or what you would like to see.
Well, I think there's two things. One, people are lazy when it comes down to voting, right? Like, people vote. Like, that's the whole point of parties, right? Most of us hate two-party systems. Everybody, you can talk to a million people. We need to get rid of the political parties. We need to get rid of the political parties. We need to get rid of the political parties. Well, we can't get rid of the political parties because people are lazy and they won't research the people to vote for them. So you're not going to have the right people being elected. So, like, it's the political parties make it easy. Regardless of what that candidate really stands for, if he's a Democrat and you a Democrat, you can say, well, he kind of covers most of my ideology, right? He covers most of it. So I can vote for him, right? When it's a Republican, the same thing. Well, when you have to research those candidates and find out shit about them candidates, like, people are like, well, I'm not voting. Like, you lose voting because people don't want to research. And no matter, like, all the shit at our fingertips today, like, you could type in part of the name and Google will finish the name for you and you still won't Google. You know, people just won't do it. And it's not just the president and Congress. It's local judges and tax collectors. All kind of laws. And
that's how you have somebody like
Carlo. Let me tell you, there's people who run for election that don't even get opposed. They just put their name on the ballot and win.
Yeah. And it happens in the city of Detroit all the time because people vote off last name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like that, what is it? Not Rodney Hood. It was a candidate named Hood or the Kilpatricks.
Yeah, they're going to roll with them on that last name.
It's just people vote off last name, especially the older residents, you know, like grandmothers, like they'll be like, oh, I remember his dad. Listen, John Conyers was in office forever, and I love John Conyers to death. But the last time I had a conversation with Mr. Conyers, I was like, geez, man, you still going for it. And it was like, man, he probably should have been turned that over years ago to somebody.
Yeah, he probably had. But I had a conversation with him, too.
John Conyers to death, man. That is one person that I truly respect and admire. And, dog, that shit, when I was, it would be sad to me when I would get on the elevator and see him in the county building like, dude, you need a break, player.
Like one time I had a conversation with him, and this might have been like 5 years before he actually, you know, gave it up. But it was just looking at him, it was like, man, you're like 70, bro. It's okay to take a break. And I understand from his side, his point of view, though, that like I'm still here because there's nobody here to do what I do.
Exactly.
And there's nobody here to come do what I do because no one is coming up.
That's sad, though, man. That's crazy that there's nobody that could replace a 80-something-year-old man, dog. And he fought for people, bro. I love John Curtis, man.
He did fight for people. But, I mean, that's just, like I said, I think it's just more of an education thing and getting back to, like Smitty said, people need not to be lazy in regards to who they want to vote and what they stand for and going out and actually submitting that with a vote to say, hey, this is what I stand for. Regardless of all the mistrust in the government that you have, regardless of all the, you know, whether you think your vote count or not, because it truly does count. Even though you may be like, oh, this person, you didn't win. I mean, but your vote counted. Like, it shows that you had a political voice and that you chose to go out and express that voice. So I think people need to do that. I think we need to educate our communities of people that don't. I mean, right now, I'm doing all this work with the census, and I can't tell you how many times I've been in front of people, and they be like, oh, I ain't filling that shit out. Well, bro, like, yeah. Like
that's your money in your community.
Man, that people don't understand that.
In Congress.
For folks that, you know, I got a few friends that feel like, you know, my vote don't count, so I'm not going to do it. You know, my whole thing is, after you've seen Trump get in, just go in. Even if you don't think it counts, just go in and let's just see. You don't get nowhere just sitting down and not doing nothing. True. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, even if you're skeptical, it's just a couple hours at the most. Just go do it. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, people are willing to ride the wave. And I forget the term for it, but people are willing to ride, like, people are really riding the wave in their windowsills, chanting from their living rooms for change, but not willing to do nothing because they're really, if someone else can take up the fight, they're going to willing to let the people take up the fight because if they don't have to. And I think, I mean, that's why we have the situations we in. That's why we have, you know, for the first 2 or 3 years of Trump's presidency, all Republican House and Senate. And that's why we have now most of the Supreme Court justices are staunch Republicans.
Right.
You know, so like, because we don't get our expression. So that's why you end up having like a pop tax or a bottle tax or a road tax or a haircut tax. And you're like, well, what the fuck is this? You know, where is this coming from? Because you didn't go out and vote and express your opinion. I'm telling you, I mean, like I said, when I do this census work, I had a lot of people be like, oh, I'm not filling that shit out. It's like, okay, well, you ain't gonna get no money. Oh, we won't get no money anyway. Well, you definitely not now. Now you're just gonna put a strain on your resources, right? So,
man, black people are so skeptical about everything. I don't even understand why would you not want to fill the census out. Maybe it needed to be like an educational video or something displayed on commercial to make people understand what the census does for the community. Because, I mean, that's how we get paid. That's how we get stuff for the schools, the roads, and everything in your area. They got people in the area. You know, that's just a dumbass way of thinking.
And so it's already getting bad. I mean, this administration hardly put any money into the census this year.
They don't want you to be counting.
I mean, he was, you know, the administration was trying to have a citizenship question on there. So, you know, yeah, people
got a nice population of shit, Southwest Detroit, and they not gonna fill that shit out.
And they need to, because they ain't got shit to do with that. But instead, now, instead of you counting the actual 100,000 people that live over there, you're going to count 50, but you're going to have 100,000 draining right. Those resources. And that, you know.
And they always say, and everybody's all like, why don't the government come and do something? Well, they don't know you live there.
That, you can't be counting. You don't count if you don't count. That's what right. You know, that's kind of what it is. But that's my plug. I ain't talking about work. I got to work tomorrow, so fuck that shit. I'm done talking about that bullshit. Matter of fact, April 1st, go fill out your census. It's going to be online this year. 9 questions, take you about 20 minutes. April 1st, census.gov is where it's
only 20 minutes. You spend that much time times 10 on Facebook.
20 minutes, 9 questions. It's all basic questions about your household and the number of people in your household. No more identifier information. Your information they take, like your name, they only keep for 72 years. And after that, they open it up to public, which you won't be here anyway after 72 years. So don't worry about it.
And real quick, just a couple things about voting. If you are the handy capable and you can't get out your car or can't stay in the lines for a long time, it is required that the polling place bring a polling station out to your location so you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
So just FYI, so you don't have to be like, oh, I'm in a wheelchair, I can't go vote. They can bring that poll out to your location.
Absentee ballots now. Everybody can use mm-hmm. absentee ballot. You don't have to be a handy capable or an old person.
So old person.
Yeah, I'm so crass.
You could have been like seniors, you know, our older adult community.
Ladies, man, at the doctor's office, man, that shit was funny as hell.
So, all right, fellas, this is a good episode, and I appreciate the educational lesson at the end here. Thank y'all for being on. Thank y'all for you know coming and expressing y'all opinions on these topics. As always, you can catch us on IG, Twitter, Facebook, fuck_yo_feelings. If you have any questions, if you want to submit us any questions, you want us to read your emails on the podcast, hit us up at the podcast FYF@gmail.com. No, you know what? I didn't say that right. Did I submit it? What is it? The podcast FYF, right?
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
Yes.
So, other than that, thank y'all for everything. And again, as always, fuck your feelings. Oh, wait. I didn't do my spiel. Shout out to Revolt and Diddy. Shout out to Tidal. We try to get signed. You know, shout out to Spotify. Whoever listening to this, you know, pick us up. All right. As always, fuck your feelings. 1.